hold these truths to be self-evident.
Living 1949, brought to you by NBC and its affiliated stations,
that all men are created equal.
In honor of our national holiday, Independence Day, which significantly marks this week,
that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights.
Momentarily rests its radio mirror and dispenses with drama documents,
that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
To bring you today a pertinent fable for Americans entitled,
The Biggest Firecracker in the World.
Your star-spangled narrator, Ben Grauer.
Greetings, and a happy birthday to you, America. Once upon a time, and it's safe to say the time is now, and for all I know it may have happened more than once, there lived in the United States of America a boy named...
Johnny.
Johnny, which you must admit is a good name indeed for a boy living in the USA. Now, what distinguished this Johnny from all the other Johnnies that ever lived was not that Johnny loved holidays.
Oh, boy! Another holiday!
But the holiday that Johnny loved best of all. For you see, Johnny liked...
Happy New Year!
Yes, Johnny liked New Year's. And Johnny simply adored... Christmas! And Johnny welcomed Columbus Day, Washington's and Lincoln's birthdays, Flag Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Arbor Day, or what have you day. But the holiday that Johnny loved best of all, the holiday that in his way of talking he'd call...
Me.
That he would confess...
It sends me.
That holiday was...
The 4th of July!
And why... Well, if you'd asked Johnny, he'd recite, almost though he were answering a teacher's question in school.
Well, it's the birth of our country, the day we declared our independence.
But the real reason Johnny liked the 4th of July, the best of all, was...
The noise. You can make all the noise you want and nobody can get mad at you.
What boy doesn't like noise? And to be given, officially, a field day for noise, well, that seemed almost too good to be true. So from the fire crack of dawn till nightfall, Johnny would shoot off salutes and firecrackers and caps and blanks and torpedoes, which he'd lay down on the trolley car track so when the trolley ran over him. Then at night he'd light sparklers and burn pinwheels and shoot off rockets and Roman candles, till he'd squeezed the last ounce of noise out of the 24 hours that were Independence Day. But this 4th of July, this particular 4th of July we're talking about, all of that Johnny relegated to his past with the comment...
Chit stuff.
This 4th of July, as he told his mother the night before, Johnny was determined to shoot...
The biggest firecracker in the world. The biggest firecracker ever heard on Hudson Street. The biggest firecracker that'll make the biggest noise ever heard in the whole wide world.
Did you wash behind your ears?
Oh, Ma, you aren't listening.
I got other things to do than listen to a boy prattle about things that are impossible. Did you wash behind your ears?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, ma'am.
That's better. Oh, go on upstairs and get into bed.
But, Ma...
Oh, now what is it?
What's impossible about shooting off the biggest firecracker ever?
Because to begin with, there'll be no firecrackers of any kind this year. The town's passed a law.
But...
You read it in the paper, dear. No fireworks in the city limits. And if you ask me, it's a good thing, what with children shooting off their fingers and everything.
But, Ma...
Now, up to bed with you. Now, I've got to wash the dishes.
But, Ma, it's okay outside the city limits.
That doesn't make any difference to you. You're going to stay right here.
But just the same...
Johnny?
Okay. Night.
Good night. And don't forget to say your prayers. Oh, and be sure to ask the Lord to help your Aunt Soph get better.
Yes, ma'am.
Johnny remembered to say his prayers that night. And he did, as he was told, ask the Lord to help his Aunt Soph get better. But Johnny also added a postscript of his own.
And Lord, please help me to find the biggest firecracker ever heard in the whole wide world. I thank you. Amen.
And as Morpheus, the god of sleep, put his fingers over Johnny's eyes, whether he knew it or not, he closed only the conscious world. the physical machine that gives birth to the subconscious thoughts of men and of Johnnies, toiled on undisturbed. And here in childhood's dreamland, with no doors barred, no laws physical or man-made to hem him in, Johnny, his thoughts still dwelling on the 4th of July and his biggest firecracker, had all the timeless world as his oyster.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause.
Halt! Who does dare intrude upon the dread haunts of the enchanter Merlin, sorcerer to King Arthur?
Well, sire, my name's Johnny.
Speak straightway. Wherefore comest thou here?
Well, I read all about you in the King Arthur stories. You can do anything.
Aha! So the fame of my wizardry still wags the tongues of men, pray. Merlin, sprung of the devil, prophet weaver of magic spells, possessed of the powers none possessed before me.
I know. You're really quite a guy. That's why I thought you could help me, Mr. Merlin.
Mark thee, I'm no mere brewer of herbs. But if thou wouldst learn how thou mayst create a castle out of invisible things, and with a single touch of a wand, dissipate that castle instantly into the air, even as a child with a straw stroke may dissipate a shining bubble, which upon one instant is, and another is not, I will teach thee. Or sooth, can I teach thee to change and transform a thing into the semblance of a different thing, and mayhap, spells and charms, such as thou didst never hear tell before.
Gee whiz. I mean, gee wizard. But that's not really what I came to see you about, Mr. Merlin. All I want you to do is to help me make the biggest noise ever heard on Hudson Street. In the whole world. To celebrate the 4th of July.
The 4th of July? And what be the 4th of July, prithee?
A holiday. The birthday of our country. The day we declared our independence.
Birthday? Independence? Thou speakest in riddles, youth. Ah, mayhap thou meanest a feast day.
A feast day? Well, I guess you could call it that if you wanted to. Ma always cooks a good dinner for us.
A noise. Thou wouldst celebrate this day with sound and fury, and thou hast come to the mighty Merlin, that in his wondrous sorcery he may call upon all that is unholy, that thou mayst honor this day by rivaling the thunder.
Well...
Verily it shall be done. Sit thee here as I stir the fire on my glowing brazier.
Gee, Mr. Merlin...
Silent! For this noise thou wishest, first an anemone plucked with the left hand and wrapped in a red cloth and kept in the shade until used, thus, then the eggs, formed by the foam of snakes...
Gosh.
The blood of a basilisk, the liver of a black cat, the toe of an owl...
Hey,
The ashes of the head of a mad dog, honeyed in lily root...
Maybe some other time...
And lastly a dragon's tooth, boiled in oil, cooled in the midnight air...
But...
Hearken my noise!
Firecracker mere mortals ever made.
You got something there, Thor. I mean, Mr. Thor. What do we do next?
You say you wish the noise for this battle day of yours?
Holiday. Independence Day. The 4th of July.
Whatever. To be thunderous, eh?
Check.
You've come to the right deity, for besides forging lightning, I alone am the maker of all the thunder the world hears.
Gosh, how do you do it?
Simple, with my trusty chariot.
Your chariot?
Here, climb in. Steps too high, eh? Well, let me lift you in. How's that?
Fine. What happens now?
By my father Odin, as we ride through the heavens together, the noise of these chariot wheels shall make such a thunderous thunder that my enemies, the giants, shall quake in their caves, and all the world wonder at my anger. And now and again, just to brighten things up a bit, I'll swing my hammer like a whip, and hurtling through the air to brighten the sky, will crash my lightning bolt.
Ribbit.
Hold tight.
Don't worry.
Get up, ye winged beast. Get up there. What did you think of that, my lad?
Well, that wasn't bad, Mr. Thor. A good try, like we say in baseball. But gosh, did you ever hear the guns of a battleship on Navy Day?
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it.
Who comes to the floating isle of Aeolus, son of Hippotas, dear to the deathless gods and ruler of the storms and winds?
Johnny Miller, 1685 Hudson Street. My teacher, Miss Graves, told us about you in the Odyssey, Mr. Aeolus. Our good sir.
Wherefore, I pray thee, hast thou come hither?
Well, I'm looking for somebody to help me make the biggest noise to celebrate our country's birthday.
For sound and fury, see ye the evil counsel of other gods. As for Ulysses of many devices, son of Laertes, he hearkened not as I sped him upon his path, but loosed the winds I had bound for him in the hide of an ox 9 seasons old, and was swept toward the high seas, weeping, that most reprobate of living men. Far be it from me to help or to further that whom the blessed gods abhor.
But just a minute, please. Honest Aeolus, you got me all wrong. I didn't come here because Ulysses sent me. Gee, I never even met the guy, personally. I just came because I knew you were an important man, and if you wanted, you could make all the winds stop and then blow all at once.
True, the winds abide by my directions.
Well, I figured all the winds blowing together. Holy smoke, that ought to make a wow of a noise. And if you pull them all in a bag for me like you did Ulysses, I could take them home, outside the city limits. And I'll open a bag on the 4th of July, and, well, I bet that would make people set up and listen, I bet.
Hear me. If thou art no friend of Ulysses or evil god of strange disguise, and seekest only that I commandeth the winds for thy pleasure, lo, so shall it be.
Gee, Mr. Aeolus, you're a peach.
Stand ye by me as I hail them. Ye cold winds of the north! Ye warm winds of the south, ye winds of the east, where rises the dawn of rose-fingered Athene, ye friendly west wind.
Wow, you all come, just like you were calling cows or something.
Now, therefore, I shall loose them, and all the winds in one violent blast break forth.
Boy.
Be thee prepared?
Yeah, sure. I'm a Boy Scout.
Then promptly to the task. Blow, winds! Blow! Does this please thee, my son?
Good. I ain't saying it ain't good, Mr. Aeolus, but as for beating any noise you got... Well, you ever hear the wind in the wind tunnel they got in the ordnance lab where my dad works?
is Ben Grauer again, friends, to bring those of you who tuned in late up to date. What Living 1949 has here today in its program honoring this week marked by Independence Day is a typical American boy named Johnny who's determined to have the biggest firecracker in the world, to make the biggest noise to celebrate the 4th of July. As he sleeps, he wanders through dreamland seeking someone to help him. So far, he's met, and fruitlessly, Merlin, Thor, and Earless, God of Wind. Where his thoughts will take him next, we can only discover by going back to the slumbering boy with the 4th of July on his mind.
Are you Mr. Samson?
I am Samson, son of Manoah, son-in-law of Timnites.
Are you the man that killed a lion with your bare hands and caught 300 foxes and the 3,000 guys tried to tie up and take back to the Philistines?
I am he. Also did I slay 1,000 men with but the jawbone of an ass. And also did I take the doors of the gate of Gaza and 2 posts, bar and all, and put them upon my shoulders and carry them to the top of the hill that is before Hebron.
Gee, I guess you must have been the strongest guy that ever lived.
Ropes have I broken like thread. Cords with which men have sought to bind my hands have I made to become as flax burnt with fire. Truly the Spirit of the Lord was mighty upon me. Not until such time as 7 locks were cut from my head did my strength go from me.
But your hair grew back.
Nay, so it did. When they called for Samson the Philistines, that they might make sport of me and set me between the pillars of the house wherein they were feasting.
You pushed in the pillars.
And all the house which the pillars bore up, and the 3,000 men and women who were there within and upon the roof. All were I avenged upon. I, Samson.
I wonder if you'd do something for me.
Speak.
Well, you're the strongest man that ever lived, Samson. If you're the strongest man that ever lived, you ought to be able to make the biggest noise that ever was. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, do I hear thee, but not do I know of thy meaning.
Well, see, we have a holiday. The 4th of July. And I want to make the loudest noise that ever heard to celebrate it. I was hoping maybe you could show me how to do it.
Nah, you would learn the strength of Samson that he also would make the Philistines to wonder.
Not the Philistines. Mostly Hudson Street.
Come! Now see here these pillars rising mightily to the heavens, holding upon them this ancient temple.
Yeah?
There. Well, thus do I stand between them. My feet. Firm rooted as the trees, and upon each pillar place I a hand. Thus.
Yeah?
Now stand thou up. And when thou dost give to me a signal, then will I push with all my strength, with the strength of Samson, and the pillar shall crumble, and the temple shall fall, and the sound of it shall make both thine ears as if to burst. Call!
Sayest, it is written down, the tale of how we passed over Jordan and besieged Jericho?
The whole works, Mr. Joshua. How you became the boss after Moses and everything.
What is this writing called?
The Holy Bible. We read it in Sunday school, and lots of times my mother reads it to me at home.
And now thou seekest to hear again the sound heard once in Jericho?
Yeah. I figured any horn that could make the walls of a whole city crumble would make an awfully big noise. And that if you just loan that for me, just for one day, I could use it to celebrate Independence Day.
Well, perhaps 'tis best that I recount ye the saga of how we, the children of Israel, did depart into the land the Lord did give unto us, and how we took Jericho, which was straitly shut up. And on the moment of the blowing of the horns, for they were 7, let thee hear them.
Okay, Mr. Joshua.
It was the Lord himself who commandeth what we do. So saith the Lord unto me.
And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets.
I remember.
And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat.
Yes, I remember.
So did the Lord command us, and so did we. And it came to pass on the 7th day that we rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city 7 times. And on the 7th time, then did I command,
blow thy trumpet!
And the 7 priests raised their 7 ram's horns and blew thus. And then did I cry unto the people,
shout, for the Lord hath given you the city!
And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall of Jericho fell down flat.
Gosh.
Would thou still borrow the ram's horn?
No thanks, Mr. Joshua. I guess not.
The sound is not great enough.
Yeah, that's it, sir. Gee, our high school band can beat that. Somehow I thought the sound would be a little louder.
May not it be, my son, that thou hast forgotten something?
What?
That it be not so much the sound that counteth as the spirit?
Not so much the sound as the spirit? Not so much the sound as the spirit?
Therefore, the representatives of the United States of America do solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are of a right ought to be free and independent states, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Why, you must be...
That's right, Johnny. Thomas Jefferson.
Well, what do you know?
Never enough, I'm afraid, my boy. What do you know?
No more than I knew when I started. Here I've been hunting the biggest firecracker just to celebrate the day you and John Hancock and George Washington and all the other guys made famous. I saw Marilyn and Thor and Elis and Samson and Joshua. People you think could help me. I don't have a thing to show for it.
Just what was it you were hunting, Johnny?
The biggest firecracker to make the biggest noise ever heard on the 4th of July.
Why, Johnny, you already have the biggest firecracker.
What? I do?
Of course. Every American is born with it.
Oh, gee. Where is it? What is it?
Freedom.
Oh.
The biggest firecracker is freedom, Johnny, which, thanks to the men who worked and fought for it, is your national heritage.
I know. But gosh, freedom doesn't make any noise.
Oh, doesn't it?
Well, what I mean is, you can't hear freedom.
Oh, yes, you can. Freedom makes noise just like any other firecracker. And better still, if you keep your eyes and ears open, you can hear it every day of the year, every single hour, every single moment.
But look, Mr. Jefferson, I...
Shh. Listen, Johnny. You know what that sound is?
Sure. I peddle papers. That's a printing press, just like we have down the office of the Gazette.
Not only the sound of a printing press, Johnny, it's the sound of freedom. Freedom won for you by men like Zenger. Freedom to print and publish what you please without worrying about the government putting you in jail for it.
Read all about it, read all about it, read all about it.
Gee.
Have you ever attended an ordinary town meeting, Johnny?
Once, with my father.
Then you might remember something like this.
All right, Abner. You've had your hand up waving it at me for the last 10 minutes. Go ahead, speak your mind.
All I got to say is if the town's got to decide between schools and roads, I'm for school. I've been stuck in just as many mud holes as the next man. The way I figure, if my jalopy can take it, I can. I make a motion we stop chattering like a flock of crows and vote for a new school.
The sound of freedom, Johnny. Freedom of speech. And you can hear it all the way up to the highest Congress of the land.
Mr. Speaker, fellow senators, this bill we have before us at the present time is a threat to our independence.
You know, I never thought...
You've heard this sound, I'm sure, many times, Johnny.
Baseball.
More than just the noise of a game, my boy. The thunder of freedom to spend your time as you please. Not to be regimented by some oppressor and forced to congregate at his beck and call in some demagogic demonstration.
Baseball. A sound of freedom.
The sound of freedom rings out with every American school bell and can be heard in the classrooms.
Now, students, I want to call your attention to Amendment 9 of the Bill of Rights. It states specifically, and it was put there just to make sure we didn't overlook anything, that the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Miss Brewster, supposing you tell us your ideas of the significance.
Your schools are free institutions, Johnny. No government tells them what they must teach or how.
Freedom.
You can hear its noise in your courts, Johnny.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The 12th District Court is now in session. Judge Shea presiding. All persons having business before this court...
Your rights in your courts are guaranteed by the Constitution. No one may enter your house without a warrant. You may not be jailed without cause. Before the bar of justice, you are the equal of the next man, whoever he is.
That, too, was the sound of freedom. And finally, do you remember as a little child how your mother used to teach you to pray?
I remember.
Now I lay me down to sleep.
Now I lay me down to sleep.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
If I should die before I wake.
She was teaching you to pray according to her own religious beliefs. And the words you spoke, the prayer you made, that was a sound of freedom, too. Freedom of religion. That every Sunday peals out, singing in a chorus of church bells throughout the land. So you see, Johnny, you don't have to look for a noisemaker to celebrate this 4th of July. You already have it. In the sounds of freedom. And as long as you keep these sounds alive in the land, and do what you can to make them heard, you'll never need to worry about the biggest firecracker in the world.
Gee, Mr. Jefferson, I don't know how to thank you. How to thank you. Thank you for straightening me out.
Will you please shut off that alarm clock and come down to breakfast?
Yes, Mother. Gee, I wonder what Thomas Jefferson would say about an alarm clock. I know. Maybe it's a sound of freedom, too, since it wakes us all up to the other sounds. Happy 4th of July, Mother!
Living 1949 is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC special program staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold. Lou Hazum writes the scripts. Ben Grauer is your narrator. Johnny was played by Butch Cavell. The music is composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. This program is directed by Jack Cuney. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1949 by listening next week to our drama document entitled Vanishing Americans. This is Fred Collins speaking.
Listen for the music of Guy Lombardo today on NBC.